that, you know, looking at the tape today, as always, there's things that as a coach you look at and you you know, you wonder why you didn't do them better. But the I think the best thing I can say is we played hard, and that was characteristic all the way through. We went from a situation where we thought, quite honestly, we'd be up 13-3 to where within a couple of, seemed like a couple of minutes, it was 10-10. And we still, you know, we hung in and we battled. And, you know, at the seven-minute mark of the fourth quarter, following that, we had an 85 and an 80-yard drive, and we were able to follow the match where New England came down and scored, and we took it, went back and scored again. Certainly, that was you know, a thrilling way to for all of us to end that particular game, and certainly be excited about the way that that the game finished. I think there were some people that obviously played outstanding. You'd have to say Jake Ballard. You'd have to say Eli. Brandon Jacobs ran the ball hard. I thought our offensive line, you know, played hard and played against some very, very good football players, some people with size and physical skills up front, and did a nice job with that. Defensively, we had a nice mixture of pass rush. We did put pressure on the quarterback at times. And also we displayed the ability to, yeah, we bend and we did some things of that nature, but we didn't break. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was happy that we kind of had gotten the run thing under control a little bit better, still not to where you want to be, but, got that a little bit better and, you know, played against one of the superb quarterbacks in the history of the league and did a reasonable job. I thought our kickoff coverage team and our punt team, protection wise and coverage, were kind of indicators of the quality of our play, our intensity, and that type of thing. So, go ahead and ask. Excuse me.
Coach, Mathias Kiwanuka dropped back in coverage quite a bit yesterday. Was that the most you'd ever asked of him to drop back in coverage? And how do you think he responded, obviously, at the interception?
Well, he did respond well, and he had a full week of it. And, you know, we also rushed him. So we really did balance things out yesterday in terms of, you know, having had him in positions many times where he's on the end of line and rushes, with an occasional drop to where he was off the ball now and did create some problems for their protection schemes by virtue of, you know, his size and strength and his speed and his ability to time up the pressures in the middle. And then he also dropped and had a nice interception and, you know, looked like he was a little bit more comfortable in space, and that's a good thing.
Tom, over the summer when you had all those injuries and the players signing with other teams, how concerned were you about the team you're going to be able to put on the field this season? Or was there part of you that looked at it like you hadn't been in the playoffs the last couple of years, you hadn't won a playoff game since the Super Bowl, that maybe change was good?
I think that as the suddenness of the collective bargaining agreement having been settled and having gotten the players in here, there seemed like in the very beginning there were things that were taking place on a daily basis that, you know, we just had to stick to the grindstone and continue to do our job, as we say normally, with the, let's not worry about what we can't control. Let's worry about what we can control. And so we, you know, as I said, from day one, we recognized the guys that were injured and felt badly for them. But then we called upon everybody else to have to step it up, to take more responsibility for the younger guys that we're going to get a chance. Let's go. And so that's the way that we approached it. And I think the players did the same.
tell Coach after all this time who really is going to be capable of stepping up? You know, like you had a big void to fill when you lost a tight end. You had a big void to fill when you lost a slot receiver. You kind of hoped that Victor Cruz can step in, but was there something in his nature that you sort of knew he would?
Well, not just in Victor's case, but we had guys here, but we knew that they needed a lot of work. And so you're talking about developmental guys who really had to be exposed to all the things that take place in the National Football League, and that was the challenge, and it still is the challenge. I mean, there's still an awful lot of work to be done in many areas with a lot of the young players that are here. But it's ongoing, and it will always be to a certain extent. So did we see some natural talent? Certainly we did. I mean, there wasn't any question about that. But had that talent completely exposed itself to us? No, it didn't. But, you know, we continue to work and continue to try to improve on that, and we still do.
Do you still feel, I mean, when you opened camp and you had 10 rookies and you had all these second-year players, it was just, this is a really young team. Do you still feel that way? Or midway through, no? Has it earned?
Well, they're young. They're still young. Nothing's changed in terms of their status. But they have experienced some things now, and they have developed an attitude, and that attitude has been a big plus, and the help of their teammates around them has helped them as well. So it's the process of building a team, and that's an ongoing and continuing process. But it does benefit from the experience factor, from the veteran players, you know, understanding what we're asking of them in terms of setting a good example and, you know, being positive and trying to help the adjustments of young players. But and so it's ongoing.
Tom, with the receiver like Ballard, who gets hit hard twice in the first half, how difficult is it for a receiver in the fourth quarter to extend, to go up for the ball, when he knows he's
going
to get clocked again?
Well, you know, I think that it depends on the individual. I mean, you've got all kinds of guys who will go and play through a wall, and you've got others that are affected by it. And, you know, Jake did get his bell rung or did get hit hard, which is, you know, anybody that's in this game and the ball's coming your way, it's going to happen. And so his attitude about it has been outstanding. I mean, he got back up. A little bit slow at first, but as the game wore on, then he continued to play at top speed and look forward to the next opportunity.
Coach, Justin Tuck said last night of Brandon Jacobs that when that guy's motivated, it's really hard to stop him, and he said that no one wants to keep tackling a 6'4", 270-pound guy. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like there's kind of an attitude shift and when his head is in the right place, you get a different back?
Well, the majority of the time, you know, he has been a... Forget about the attitude and all of that stuff. You're talking about a guy that is powerful. He is strong. He looked at and assessed the situation. He knew full well that his teammates needed him. His team needed him to perform at a level that we've come to expect, if you will, a higher level. He had the ability to look at the game a week ago, for example, and decide that nope, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't the way he wanted to play. And he did help set a tone last night. So it was very welcomed, and it certainly gave us all a great deal of confidence. As I said after the game, even when there wasn't much, it was 2nd and 7, and a lot of times it was 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 4. And that is a good situation.
Tom, you know by now the second half record hasn't always been kind to this team. Some of your players talked about that yesterday. It's kind of a bad memory for them. Is that something you address with them, you know, the importance of finishing, or do you figure they know all about it by now?
We've talked about finishing since day one. We talk about it every Saturday night. We talk about the catchy line from one of the videos that we've shown about you have to finish. That's the point. And so we continuously talk about that. and well, we will continue to. Do we talk about anything that has to do with the past? No. We talk about this now being an eight-game schedule, and the next game is the most important game of the year. It's a game against the San Francisco 49ers. So that's how we approach it. And as I said, the entire concept for us now is keeping both feet on the ground, dealing with praise as well as criticism, and understanding that if you're going to have any success in this business, then your preparation has to be exceptional, and you've got to be prepared to pay the price, to sacrifice, the other types of things in your life that could or could not be a distraction to the benefit of your team and your teammates, and we'll continue to sell that.
I'm sure over time you've looked back at it. Has there ever been any common thread to why you guys have struggled in the second half?
I don't know. I'm sure there would be. I'm not at this point in time going to mention or say what I think, or because I really don't have any. I don't have the thoughts in front of me, and I certainly haven't done the research on it, but. No, I would say at this point in time, I couldn't tell you that.
Tom, you had a pretty emotional win in week three, and then had to come right back and fly across country and get ready to play another game. Were you happy with the way the team did that, and you think you'll be able to draw on that this week, having to do the same thing?
Well, we talked about that last night, that the 49ers are a very good team. They're playing very well. They're a very physical team. They've demonstrated that multiple times this year, and it'll take a superior preparation and a superior game, high-energy physical game for us to travel out there and win at their place. So, that's the point that we'll make. Hopefully, if there's other positives to be drawn from other experiences, we'll call upon that during the course of the week.
Tom, you mentioned the guys like Cruz and Bauer that you've developed. How much does that fit into your organizational view of taking these guys and putting them into your system so a few years down the road they can be polished pieces and part of the puzzle?
Well, it's always a constant search for talent, and we do have an outstanding collegiate and pro staff in terms of player personnel and people that do judiciously conduct themselves in the search for talent. Sometimes it's through the draft. Sometimes it's through the free agency market, be it pro or college. And so it's an ongoing thing. And you sometimes are fortunate, sometimes you're not. So, but let's see where this goes. Let's hope that this whole process with those two young men and others that are on our team and are providing us with either depth or outstanding special teams effort. Let's continue to have that develop here over the course of the remaining eight games.
Tom, I would imagine that you wouldn't mind a few victories that had a margin to them when you could just go out and take a knee, but winning week after week in such close fashion, needing comebacks in the fourth quarter, does that, although it's very emotionally draining, can that make your team better in close games and make them experienced in that kind of situation?
Oh, it definitely can do that. I mean, you put yourself in that position enough times, then people know that they've been there before and do know what it takes. And it's part of what we've talked about since the first day that we arrived in camp. And it has to do with winning the fourth quarter, being the stronger team in the fourth quarter. It has to do with finishing better than we did a year ago, because that has been a main objective of ours as we put these thoughts together in the off season, and the players are well aware of that. They openly discuss and talk about that. So these experiences that we have had in these very close games, they will help going forward. And the mention of emotions, there's a belief on the sideline, a confidence, if you will, that that we can get it done. No matter what, if it's if the opportunity is there, there was a minute 36 last night, then the belief is that somehow, some way, we can find a way to do this, and certainly when you handle this right in the right way, and you understand that, hey, this is you're talking about an exceptional football team in the New England Patriots, and yet you realize that it's going to take a great effort to accomplish what we did last night. But again, it's a springboard on to better things. So that all has to be understood as well.
Tom, when you watched film of the Steelers' defense last week, against the Patriots, what did you notice? What did you think made them so successful? And did you take anything away from that you guys used yesterday?
Well, we watch literally every game of the opponents throughout the course of the season, and then we zoom in on the things that we think are beneficial to our team, to the personality of our team, the way we want to play, our personnel, that type of thing. So you study an awful lot. And of course, the Steeler game was the most recent one, so we studied that as well. And you reinforced the physical part of the game by looking at that game, and they battled. They had the ball for so much. The one thing you had to come away with was the time of possession difference, which was a way in which they could attempt to keep a extremely high-powered offense off the field, and we weren't able to do that last night. I think we nosed out a little bit to time of possession, but not to the effect that the Steelers did.
They played a lot of man coverage, though, I noticed, and really, that I noticed your team probably more in the first half did some of that as well. Did any of that, was there an influence at all from the Steelers game?
Well, we do what we think is best for our team, and the matchups, the people that we're going to have to play against, those are the primary decision-making factors, your own personnel.
Do you have any sense on the availability this week of Bradshaw, Nix, and Boss?
I know that they're improving. It's going to end up being how they feel tomorrow and to what extent they can do some things tomorrow, being Tuesday with the trainers, and then the trainers will report to us as to what they think, if anything, they can do on Wednesday. So we're hopeful. We have encouraging signs coming out of the training room, but I wouldn't go as far as to say what can be expected.
I know that Bradshaw has played through this injury before, but is there any feeling that giving him a couple of weeks to let it settle first would be the better thing to do, would help?
We'll do whatever the doctors recommend, and that'll be based on how he feels and whether or not he's been able to control some of the soreness and if he is able to, run and do the things that are necessary during the course of the week to prepare himself to play. So, we'll have to wait and see how he feels in order to put together some kind of a plan, and the medical people will, after they assess where he is this week, then they'll give us a good guide as to what they think we can do and what our expectation level will be.
But you talked earlier about your...
How close was Prince Mukamura? Obviously he had accelerated his practice this week, and is the kind of thing you were just thinking maybe, let's wait one more week before we give it a go?
Well, I think there has to be, in everyone's opinion, the proof, how he's performed on the practice field, before we can simply just say, well, he's ready to go. So, he gets better each week, and everyone is thinking that that the time is approaching. And there's still some things I think that have to be cleared up on the practice field. And when that happens, then we will welcome him.
Hey, Tom, okay. Given the fact that Eli had the 12-yard run and also on the goal line on first down, he was able to avoid the blitz and the sack by rolling left and throwing that incomplete that was almost a touchdown. Do you think his ability to stay alive on plays, even if he isn't the fastest guy in the world, is that an underestimated part of his game?
I think so, because that might have been the play of the game. I mean, they hit us with, we have a kind of a crazy name for that blitz, but their Guyton was right on top of him. I mean, point-blank range. And not only does he avoid and roll to his left, but he almost throws a strike. I mean, that ball, you know, arguably is a catchable ball now, and it's off balance, it's to his left, and, you know, he makes a heck of a play. So his decision, once he saw the coverage, and the other thing that's really, I think, has to be understood is that a quarterback sees the coverage and recognizes the coverage, and sometimes when the coverage is such that it is a vulnerable coverage to the quarterback pulling the ball down and running, you know, he doesn't do it until a key time in the game when perhaps you need it the very most. And then that's when he pulls it down and ran, you know. And I thought that that was wise.